I have. I brought some things with me. These ones, maybe you can have. If you like to wear them, you can wear them on the wrist or you can wear them on your anklet. This is just like a Tibetan design and made by Tibetan people. The Tibetan people believe that these are good if you wear them here. It helps to prevent any disease or sicknesses related to our veins of the body. So if you like, I'll just pass down these. And then also last year when I went to India, I managed to get some blessing pills. Blessing pills. There's a Rinpoche who lives in Dehradun, and he, in his monastery, they do the White Tara Puja and recite the White Tara. White Tara is like a goddess of longevity. So they recite the mantra many times, and then they bless the pills for the long life of whoever is going to get. So therefore, I have about 8 in here. So I'm just thinking, maybe 2 people can share one each. 2 people can share one each. So then you can either have it yourself, this pill you can have it as it is, or you can put it in water, drink it. You can even give it to people who are a bit sick, you know, and you know, who like to have. So maybe Ross, you can pass it to them. And then there is this thing. This is I don't have many small packets. This is very good. Usually Tibetan people use it for when people have some. When people, you know, you think like some people are, you know, possessed with some spirits, so they burn it in the fire and then they smoke it. This is supposed to, it's a very Tibetan thinking. In Tibet they believe there's lots of ghosts and so on. So this is lots of mantras by His Holiness Sakya Tenzin. And this is to chase away the bad spirits and so on. Some people say if you have difficulty in sleeping, you know, before you go to bed, if you smoke, it helps to sleep better. Anyway, I have one packet for myself, and this one can go among all of you if you want to have. You can give it to, you know. And this one later we can arrange, you know, to put in. And if you want one for one or two for your friends, or you know, please take with happy, you know, family members who would like to have. Yes, yes, yes. They are not drugs though.
They are not drugs.
Can you
see
the news from Peter?
Uh-huh.
Yes, that was this morning. Amelia is in good shape and comfortable, but she was when I left hospital yesterday afternoon. I'll go back this morning. She should be on the feet, walking up and down that corridor. Brenda used to be a nurse.
Ah.
Very good, strong nurse, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
IV and catheter out. She only needed, this is the good news, she only needed the simpler surgery rather than the highly complicated kind. Isn't that great? Love to you and to all up there.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's good news.
Good.
Mm.
Very good. So, anyone who have not done any chanting in here, any chanting? So maybe we can introduce you to some chanting. And the chanting, we will chant the name of the Buddha. Buddha is known as Shakyamuni. So Shakya is the clan that Buddha came from. And Muni is a Sanskrit word. Muni means the abled one, the one who was able in so many fields, and particularly able one in defeating mental afflictions. So therefore, Buddha is known as Shakyamuni. So there is a Buddha's name mantra, which is Tadyata, and Om Muni Muni, Mahamuni, Shakyamuni Swaha. So we will do some chanting just to do a chanting meditation. And if you like, you can visualize that the Buddha, the picture is at the back here. The Buddha Shakyamuni picture, and you can visualize you can visualize from the forehead of the Buddha. And you can, it really depends on your ability to visualize and feel. If you can feel the presence of the Buddha, then you have the Buddha. So you can feel the presence of the Buddha, and you can visualize from the forehead of the Buddha rays of light issue out in the form of blessing. And these rays of light are white in color and absorb into your forehead. And as an effect of this absorption of the rays of light from the forehead of the Buddha, you can think that whatever physical sicknesses, physical problem, and physical negative karmas, all of them are cleansed and purified, and the holy body's blessing of the Buddha, whatever it is, has entered into you, and your body has been blessed completely, and your lifespan has been enriched, and your physical ability has been increased, and so on. And then you can visualize from the throat of the Buddha, visualize rays of light, red in color, and issue out, and these rays of light then absorb into your throat. And with this, whatever negative karmas of your speech, such as telling lie, or divisive speech, or harsh speech, or senseless gossip, and the potential, the propensities for such a speech that can cause problem to yourself as well as cause problem to others, all of them, and all the negative speech have been burned and purified, and your speech can receive the blessings of the holy speech of the Buddha, whereby your speech is blessed to bring positive influence and the blessing of the holy speech of the Buddha absorbed into you. And then you can visualize from the heart of the Buddha rays of light, blue in color, and absorb into your heart. And whatever your concerns, your worries, your problems, your disturbing thoughts, whatever that you have, and whatever is laid in your mental continuum, whatever it is, all of them are cleansed and purified. And you have received the blessing of the Holy Mind. And at the end, you can visualize from the three places of the Buddha, rays of light, white, red, and blue come out and absorb into you, and your body, speech, and mind, Buddha's holy body, speech, and mind merge together, and thus receiving all the blessings of the Buddha. And you can remain in that meditation if you like. So I will start the chant, and if you can, you can do the visualization. Mahamune Shagya Mone Soha Peyadha So when we were chanting just now, we can hear the chant, and we ourselves chanting, and we can hear the chant, the sound. So sound is hearable, and then when we hear the sound, and if we just leave it as just a sound, then it's just a sound, and then. If we just let it like that, then it has its true nature, which is you can hear, but it does not have an inherent existence, which is called taktong kewa meva. There's a sound you can hear, but it does not have an inherent existence. So therefore, it's a beautiful way of understanding, as it says. Because when we cannot see the empty aspect of it, then that sound becomes like solid know, so then that sound can be like nice and not nice. When you just leave the sound as it is, it has risen, you know, but then it has kind of disappeared. So our mind, if we can maintain that, then the sound is also very pure. When we hear something and we tend to hear it in a certain way, and that certain way that we hear it, and due to our way of hearing it, then it can have an impact on us. So we hear certain things as nice, certain things as not so nice. If we just leave the sound as it is, then it is hearing, yet at the same time it does not have an inherent existence. You hear and then it passes. Likewise, also difficulties and sufferings we have because of not being able to hear things as they are, because we hear them either as nice and either as not nice, so therefore we are affected. So the sound of the mantra of any kind, when we chant with faith and devotion, or we just, even if we just chant, but if we are not to create a concrete and inherent and a solid sound, then we are fine. So there is lots of karma of speech when we are affected. You know? Somebody says something to me and really affected me. Or someone says something about me to some people. And if we can just leave it as a sound, it's just a sound, and no problem. But it becomes more than that when we, our sense of identity of I, you know, they said something about me, and they said something nasty about me. Then at that time, that sound, even though it is empty of inherent existence, that sound becomes, you know, effective in making us unhappy, down, and then giving rise to certain feelings of negative kind. So it has that effect. So therefore, in the teaching, they talk about the empty aspect of the sound. Now, this one is really, it does not say that there is no sound. Yeah? There is a sound, but it is just a sound. No? And it does not have to have like a solidness to it. Or it does not have to have an inherent existence. It's just a sound. And when you are able to hear everything in that way, no? Then it is a change. It is a transformation. It is a dharma taking place. Likewise, the form. The form when we see of something, and if we just see, it's clearly appearing, yet it is empty of inherent existence. No? When we are able to see the clarity and emptiness together in a form, then it is pure. Because something is very clear, and at the same time, it does not have to be good or bad. No? It does not have to be nice. Does not have to be not nice. It's just a form, and it is form and empty. It's a very holy aspect. See a form, and at the same time you can see the emptiness of the form. Then it lifts you up, or it brings you at a higher level where you do not end up in the dualistic perspective of good and bad. Just a form. Salton Sunju is the union of clarity and emptiness in the form. So when we are able to see that, then we probably see the holiest or purest form, when we are able to see the form together with the empty aspect of it. Likewise, our thoughts. likewise, our thought, a thought arises in our mind, and if we can just see it as arising at the same time, not having an inherent existence to it, so then we are not trapped in the discursive thoughts or conceptualizations. Just arising of the thought. And if we are able to see that very thought, as the holy mind of the Buddha, no? And so there is arising, but it does not have an inherent existence. So then that very discursive thought, you know, does not have any more thing to do. As soon as it arises, you know, we just, if we are able to see the empty aspect, or the maybe bliss side of it, empty aspect of it, the discursive thought cannot do much damage. When we hold on to it, then there is another one coming up. From this, another one coming up. So then it just continues. So therefore, then we are trapped. So therefore, this is like just something related to the wisdom aspect of the Buddhist teaching. So when we are able to do like that, then maybe we will be able to at least have our focus away from maybe this self. Have our focus away from our ordinary focus as self, as inherent existing. Only can take it away. And then the next level is when you are actually able to then help and benefit and contribute and so on as possible. So this is just a different approach. In the highest level of teaching, highest level of teaching, like tantric teaching or highest level teaching, this is some of the things that they teach to understand. So therefore, and things can be progress wise and so on will be much quicker. And if you can do it often when you are doing your meditation, and when you are doing in between your meditation, and this is something very good to be able to do. So then we go into this text, Bodhisattva's Way of Life, and this has 10 chapters. And the Bodhisattva is nothing without Bodhicitta. Without Bodhicitta, the thought or the wish to attain enlightenment to benefit others. So a Bodhisattva thinks in this way, that working for their own benefit when all sentient beings are suffering, and being so busy with themselves alone, is not fitting. Bodhisattva thinks in this way, that all sentient beings are in suffering. If I leave all sentient beings in suffering, and if I work for my own liberation, even if I am to attain liberation, there is no point, because all sentient beings have been very kind to me, and they have been very kind. Whatever I have received from others. My name has come from others. My body has come from others. My clothes have come from others. My degree, my recognition, whatever, everything has come from others. Even this very body, this very skin, everything has come from others. And then so, if I am to work for myself alone and ignore everybody, then it's not fitting. That's the Bodhisattva thinks. Then the Bodhisattva thinks in this way, that other people are suffering, and their suffering is far bigger than my own suffering. So when Bodhisattva thinks in this way, then they have compassion to others. You can see the suffering of people who are sick and dying, or people who cannot handle change, and they have lots of suffering. Sometimes the mental suffering is far greater than the physical suffering of certain people. Some people are so affected by certain changes in their life, they can't handle the change, they can't accept it, and they suffer so much. And then there are beings who happen to be or who look like doing quite okay, but they are still caught in a vicious cycle, and they can be affected by these two sufferings anytime. So therefore Bodhisattva thinks about all sentient beings and the welfare of all sentient beings, but at their current situation, they are not able to help. They know that even the powerful people like king and so on cannot help because they themselves are in samsaric situation. So the only person, bodhisattva thinks that they can help sentient beings, is the fully enlightened one, the Buddha. So therefore, bodhisattva have one aspiration, is to obtain the perfect state of enlightenment. And the other aspiration is not to forget the sentient beings. No point attaining a perfect state of enlightenment if one cannot help sentient beings. So therefore there is two aspirations. Now, the bodhisattvas, when they approach to the perfect state of enlightenment, there are two types of bodhisattvas, two types of compassion, I should say. One is called the king-like compassion. The king-like compassion is bodhisattvas first want to become a Buddha. Because when the king, someone is king, then they have power or control over the people. So therefore, they are able to help. So there is one type of bodhisattva who have compassion in that way, that they want to become Buddha first and then help all sentient beings. And then there is another one which is compassion that is explained as like shepherd-like compassion. The shepherds, what they do is they first put the sheep, you know, at a good place where the sheep can have their grass and everything. Only then the shepherd sit down and have its lunch. So some bodhisattvas, they postpone their enlightenment. They don't want to attain the perfect state of enlightenment until all sentient beings are liberated. So therefore they are to approach. So this text is a complete teaching, and it's a definitive meaning of the Buddha's teaching to attain the perfect state of enlightenment. It talks greatly in the first chapter about how great the bodhicitta is, and there's so many greatness about bodhicitta. And then the second and third chapter prepares the person to actually become right or suitable container to have this bodhicitta. And then in the third chapter, the bodhicitta is embraced. And then in the fourth and the fifth chapter, one is basically being very careful as a bodhisattva. And one is again constantly looking into one's own mind, that one is maintaining that bodhicitta and doing whatever it needs to be done. And in the sixth chapter of this, the whole chapter is a beautiful chapter on the practice of patience, because there is lots of impatient. Mm-hmm. So therefore it's just a beautiful chapter on the practice of patience. I think read it here twice. This chapter is very good because you get angry, and because they say in one moment of anger, many positive karmas. Here the karma is positive karma that are not dedicated. If you have done a good karma, and if this karma is dedicated for all sentient beings, then that karma is very special. It's like the very drop that you put in the ocean. It does not dry until the whole ocean dries. But the karmas that are not dedicated, some good things you do, you have done some good thing, but that karma is a good karma, but this is easily destroyable. So in a fit of anger, such karma like that you have accumulated in a period of maybe 1,000 eons, you know, through the practice of generosity and even making offering to Buddha and so on, when they are not dedicated, in a moment of anger, it is said, those karmas that is accumulated over 1,000 period of time, they are destroyed. So therefore, the practice of patience is heavily emphasized in the sixth chapter. And then in the seventh chapter, in the chapter of Tsundru Temba, Tsundru, or the enthusiasm, or joyous effort, in there it talks about overcoming the laziness of doing too much and doing the wrong thing. And busy, it appears like very busy, but one is actually lazy from the perspective of spiritual development. And then the laziness that is associated with sleeping and, you know, and eating and sleeping and not practicing. And then there is one laziness, is the laziness of down looking upon oneself, you know, or how I can't do it, that kind of. So overcoming these three laziness, there is a chapter on the patience, and then the eighth chapter is the practice of the Dhyan Paramita. And Paramita or something in Tibetan, and it is interpreted as concentration. Something, I think the meaning, if I look into the literal meaning of something, some is usually samlo, like samlo is a positive thought, but in this case it is the thoughts of the bodhisattvas, and ten is a firm thought, like a solid thought, so it is not easily persuaded this way or that way, something temba. So in this one, the something temba have at the beginning of the chapter, there is the advice connecting to the previous chapter. Then there is advice to keep one's mind on the samadhi or single-pointedly on the meditation, because a mind that is not kept in that way, and a mind when it is not kept on one object of meditation, so that mind, you know, is like ready. That mind is ready to go whichever way the air is blowing. So therefore, this mind can be go this way or can go that way. And when this mind is not kept, and when it is just allowed to go, then it just goes. It is not guided or anything. So it just goes and takes this form and that form. So it just falls into this side and that side, and it gets distracted. So in the aspects of nice and not nice, good and bad, and so on. So therefore, very likely to invoke a deluded mental state. It's deluded mental state of maybe greed or anger or whatever. It just becomes a bit like cliche saying again and again. So therefore, and then it looks into the things that what one needs to abandon. And we have been through that yesterday, and today we are still in the practice of bodhicitta. The bodhicitta, dana shendu nyamba and dana shendu jeva. Oneself and others are similar, and others are more important. So we are looking into the Darshan Jeva, is exchanging of self and others. And the exchange of self and others is has a few parts to it. The first one was actually to cherishing others or bringing the others. And then the second one is abandoning oneself, because in this practice there is a requirement to abandon this self. Yeah, but it's not like abandoning this self and causing harm to it. No? Abandoning this self, minimizing this self, concern about this self have been so many times ever since born. So the bodhisattva have a change. Dak Thorva is Dak is self, and Thorva is to let go of the self. So it's a practice. Dak Thorva normally it does not happen by itself. So the practice is like a deliberate effort. The reason there is a reason why the self is abandoned or dropped or letting go is. If I am not to abandon this self, it is very fitting to abandon this self, because if I am not to abandon this self, in this life itself, there is lots of fear comes up when I hold on to this self. In this lifetime, because there is rising of fears, so therefore it is fitting. Thorva Rigpa is it's fitting that it this self is abandoned. Tagi Lu Khangla Chapai, when I attach to this body, any part of the body, when I am attached to this body and cherishing this body, then Jinne Chunlam, even a place that is very small, and if it is an object to be fearful of, it's a very small and minuscule object to be fearful of. When I am cherishing this self, then Jigpa Kevena, there is a rise of fear in me. Maybe a snake at a distance there, it's not even nearby, a distance. When cherishing this self, seeing this, there is a rising of fear in us. So therefore, Jigpa Thamje Kerva Jugarangu Thela, this one's body, due to this and due to grasping to this, all sorts of fear come up. Shedin is a person with insight, a person who knows. Sushi, Dashin, due to this body, there is lots of fear coming up. So it is like an enemy. If you have an enemy, you are always afraid of the enemy. The enemy can attack anytime. So therefore, one is very afraid of the enemy. So therefore, usually we have aversion to the enemy. We have aversion to the enemy. So the question asking here is, a person with insight, why would not a person with insight have aversion to this body, like an enemy, because it is always giving rise to fear, in my mind. Now this is from the perspective of the fears that can arise in this lifetime due to our strong attachment to the self. And then this is just an example. We do not need many examples. We know through our own experience. Now the second one is Chimar Dungal Kepe Thorwar Rekha. Not only in this lifetime, in the next life also, Dungal Kepe, it gives rise to the suffering. So therefore it is fitting that this self-cherishing is to be dropped. Rangi Lu Khangi Trebatan Kumbatan Nela Sopa Sove Chola Chedupe. One's own body, for whose thirst and hunger and its sickness, in order to gratify it, what one does is one go and kill the birds, fish, deers, and so on. So killing them, because of this body is thirsty, this body is hungry, so therefore one get engaged into such activity of killing. Lamtu gugde shengi nor chokar chela is hiding and waiting for someone to come on the road and then attack the person and take their wealth away. Lu kanshi gi kena rimdre chir. Some people, for the sake of the benefit for their own body, they even go to the extent of killing their father and mother. Pada maya suje chi. Not only that, some people go even to the point of stealing the prosperities or things that is offered to the triple gem. So due to such actions, narme dusse kvajurna is like this. Due to such actions of extreme kind, in their next life, they are burned into the strong fire of hell realm. Kepa sushi, a person who is a wise person, a person who is wise, why would a person who is wise love so much to this body and desire so much about this body and protect so much and make offering to this body? A person who is wise A person who is wise, Drashindu Tavarmiche, they will view this body actually as an enemy. And also Nyemiche, why would not they look down upon this? It is perfectly fitting that a wise person should do this way. So this one is dropping the self-cherishing, Dao Thorwa. Now is Dashen Sovur Chebe Kyung Ki Khebar. Now is the differences. The differences when you emphasize on the self and differences of when you emphasize on the others. Yeah? When you emphasize on the self, then there is fault. When you emphasize on the others, then there is positive qualities. So this is what the next verses and so on is going to look into. The first is the difference in the aspects or appearances. Kalde shenla shina daran chi chi dandun bashir sembani dred ida ge chosur yina. If one thinks like this, that if I give it to others, then what would I have myself? No? This is Ramdun Bashir Semba. This is one is thinking about oneself. No? I have this. If I give this away, then what? No, what? What about me? No? So this manner is it says that Ida Gichu Sula. This is similar to the behavior of hungry spirits or hungry ghost. Yeah? Khalde chena chijin. Or if I have it myself, then what would I have to? What would I left? No, have left to give, no. Or if I have this myself, then I would not have anything to give, no. When one thinks in this way, this is called shendo semba. One is thinking for the other person. Tai chu, that this is a good dharma, a noble dharma. So this is the differences in the aspects. Now the jivu khepar, from the perspective of the differences in the outcome of such an approach. Dagi chir shen amnyoba chanas, for the sake of oneself, if one is to cause harm to others. Yeah, the others can mean anything. It can be your friends, your relatives, your parents, your enemy, whoever. If one is to cause harm to others, then the result is one will experience the sufferings in the unfortunate existences. Shengi chir dalam nepa chana, if for the sake of others, if one is to harm oneself. Yeah? And presum zoba tamje tobar juro, one will obtain. Now this harm does not mean, shengi chir dalam nepa chana, this harm does not mean for the sake of others, just cutting yourself or body like this. This does not mean like that. Shengi chir dalam nepa chana, if one is to, for the sake of others, if one is to harm oneself. Then, Pusum Sobat Tamje Tobarjuro, whatever the great qualities and so on that is there, one will be able to obtain them. So, this is from the perspective of causing harm. Dani Shembe Tobarjubate, a person who desires oneself to become higher than others, that person, the result is Ngendrotan, will fall into the miserable existences. Rigsu ngembata, they will belong to maybe bad group or caste, or their form also will be very bad and so on. Lemperjur is also they become like stupid, Tenji shenla pochena, if that very thing is changed to the others from oneself, wishing others to be higher, that person will be born into the fortunate existence, and also they will be treated well and so on. Dagi tundu shen kolna, if for the sake of myself, if I am to make other people work very hard, then I will myself be born as a servant and slave, and a person who is hired for certain money, and that kind of experience one will happen. Shengi tundu da chena, if one is to work for the sake of others, then the result is said to one will receive, or one will become like a leader, or someone who has many helpers and assistants and so on. So therefore, this is looking at it from the perspective of what is the result from doing for yourself and doing for others. And then the brief one is Donna in brief. Jidengi deva chinye bathe, all the happiness that is in the world. Tegun shen deva deva le chuna, all the happiness in the world, they all have come about when one wishes happiness for others. Jidengi dunga chinye ba, whatever the suffering that is there in the world, Thegun Rande Dönechu, all of them have come from wanting happiness for oneself. So then the example is given here, it's symbolized, signified by the example. Junzen so mandu sheda chishibu. There's no need to give so many reasons about all these things. Chibe rang tuen cheba rang. Ordinary chibas, you know, who work for themselves. And then tupa shengi tuen bashi cheba. The Buddhas, you know, who work for the sake of others. You know. You just look at the differences between ordinary person and the Buddha. You don't need so many explanation and so on. Just have this example. So then the Majibe Nyamik. Now we are looking into the, because we are in this part of the teaching of exchanging of Dao Shen, exchanging of self and others. And now it says, if you do not exchange of self and others, then what are the disadvantages? Now the first one have two parts, the actual presentation of the disadvantages of not exchanging self to others. And then after that is the advice to let go of the causes that lead to not exchanging self to others. The first one, the faults of not exchanging self to others, has three parts. The disadvantages that we cannot see at the moment will be talked about first. Dagit devana shengit dungata yanda jevar machena. If one is not to exchange one's happiness to the suffering of others properly, sangi nidhu midrupching, one will not become a Buddha. Therma say, not only that you would not become Buddha, korva nayam, even in the vicious cycle of samsara, dendru deva topa meto, you would not achieve even the happiness of the fortunate existences, such as human life, happiness. Now, nipa tonwe nimikni, the disadvantages that we can actually see. Jigden paro do deva mitoba parshoki. No need to mention that one will not enjoy happiness in the next life. Tenyo lemi chebata, jebu legi imba mitirwe. Say, a person who is a servant, if they do not do their duty, yeah, then automatically the leader, you know, would not pay money or give to them. Say the thun, you know, the purpose of this life, such as food, clothing, you know, that is needed by the servant, you know, because they are not paid, so therefore they are not able to even provide the basic necessities such as food and clothing and so on. So therefore this is something we can see when someone does not work for others and they are not paid and they miss out. Sumbathunduvani. Now the third one here is a summation here. They do gijula mumpe. When one is confused about the causes of happiness and unhappiness, when one does not know, when one's mind is not able to know what is actually the causes of happiness and what is the causes of suffering, yeah? Then when one is in such a situation, tongwa tamma tongwe deva tamje drupe ju. So, tongwa tamma tongwe deva tamje drupe ju, dashen jewa pangbe. It's the happiness that one can see and happiness that is not seeable at the moment. No? The causes of that is the exchanging of self and others. Pesum sobe degi tamje yonsu borshing. Such a happiness and joyfulness that can come from the practice of exchanging and self, you know, all of them will be lost. And due to the causes created to cause harm to the others, one will experience like never-ending suffering of this suffering that is seeable as well as suffering that is not seeable. So therefore, the Shantideva advises that to abandon such causes. However much the harm that is there in the world, as well as in the world, the fears as well as the sufferings, All of them have arisen from grasping to self and self-cherishing. The great ghost that caused all the harm. Yeah? So the great ghost that caused all the harm, self-cherishing. Why are you keeping it? No, it is no use. Just abandon this. This is Shantideva's advice. If you are not to completely throw away this self-cherishing, you will never be able to abandon the suffering. For example, if you don't let go of the fire, if you hold on to the fire, you know, the burn will happen. So then there is a there is a summation of it, but the summation is a bit detailed in here. There is the thoughts and the actual action. The thoughts. Da chepar zimba, rangsheng neba dang dungal mambe duimba. Self cherishing, holding self to be precious and cherishing, is a cause to harm oneself as well as harm others. And also is the very cause of many sufferings. Therefore, in order to pacify the harm of myself, and also for the pacification of all the sufferings of others, let go of yourself to others. The others, hold others dearly as you would hold yourself. The mind, you talking to the mind, you should know from today onwards that I am actually now under the power of others. Now from today onwards, apart from the benefit of all sentient beings, you should not think any thought at all. Nibbani Samba Deta Vodan Dembe Kansa Tei. A person who has such a thought like that, Tei Mila Sobe Wangbui Yorwa Andun Dubari Bama Yinte Shenla Wana Chiro. Such a person who has such thought, cannot act through their eyes and so on, the actions, to use for one's own purpose, because one's eyes and everything is actually belong to others. So therefore one is to do whatever, even if you look, if you do something with your hands, you do it for others. It says, Mi gamla vala so tada chujan, the eyes and the hands and so on, as the object of the point of discussion here, you cannot use it against the others, because you have already dedicated it for the sake of others. Because of that reason, take other sentient being as the important, most important. On your body, whatever thing that you desire, such as clothes and so on, whatever you see, take it away from your body, give it to others. So this is the thought and the action. Yeah, the thought first and then the action is suggested in this way. The actual action of exchanging self to others. This one has two kinds. One is the mental action, one is the actual action. So the mental action of exchanging has a brief presentation and a detailed presentation and the summary. The brief presentation is Thola Chado Nyamnaden Mala Naja Dunate. Earlier we looked into the behavior of the chipas. The chipas are very like when we say the chipas are like a very superficial being. Very superficial being. because they are jealous of those who are higher than them, and they are very competitive to those who are similar to them, and then they look down upon those who are inferior to them. Yeah? Now they, in order to abandon these faults, remember Naso Sumbo Daudu Chebapa, Shen Sumbo Nito Dani Cheneba, a thought in your thinking. Remember, if there is a person who is inferior to you, yeah, you put yourself in the place of the inferior person. Yeah? And you, if you, usually you would maybe look down upon the inferior person. So therefore, you put yourself in the position of the inferior person, so that you would not look down. Yeah? You would actually look up to the person who is inferior. And likewise, and no competitiveness to those who are equal to you, because if you compete with the other person, you cause difficulty to the other person. So to those who are, and then tola taudo, and then not doing like if you put yourself in the place of the higher one, no, yeah, then you would automatically like this is like normally you would be jealous. So then you would put in the opposite way, so there is no jealousy. So then exchanging of self and others, and tezongi namdo membe simgi su, without any doubts in your mind or discursive, no? Membe taudo tang, nyambe densem tang, towe ngadya gomu. So from the perspective of other person, you should have jealousy towards yourself, and competitiveness towards yourself, and jealousy to you instead of having it to others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Because normally when you not exchange, you know, when you are not exchange, you are yourself. So therefore you compete. Therefore you have jealousy and you will look down. No? Now you have changed completely. No? So therefore, if a person who is higher than you, so you put yourself as the higher, and then you should have jealousy to yourself instead of the other person. Okay? Now the actual method of meditation is explained here, and then the authentication about the meditation. Thangbola Sumde, the first actual meditation, have three meditation. The first one is the meditation of jealousy, and then the second one is competitiveness, and then the meditation of the arrogance. The first one, the jealousy, is of two kinds. Now in this case, when we say self, it is self referring to the exchanged. First, looking from the perspective of worldly qualities and then having jealousy. Jealousy. This bodhisattva is respected by others, you know, whereas me, ordinary person, I am not respected by others. Dish and dagi, minyachin, these are all worldly qualities, such as respect. Dish and dagi, minyachin, just like this bodhisattvas, I do not have like obtained or attainment. Din nituche, so this is given praise. Daulame, I am looked down. This is happy, and dani dungala, I am suffering. Dani lenam chebada, I do all the activities, and this one remains in happiness. Shen daudu chebate, such a thought, by one who have made others to oneself. Rahan shen du chebate la, and oneself is exchanged to the other position. So, Shen Daudu Cheba is the self is made oneself, and then oneself is made others, so therefore in that way one should have jealousy. Taudo Chaos. The Kabgi Da Shen Tham Dishin Du Cheba, one should know self and others at this point, no? As one should understand that it's exchanged. Niba Yundegi Cheba Taudo Chawani, now the jealousy about the positive qualities. Yeah? This bodhisattva is full of positive qualities, and I am low. And also I am known as a low one in the world. Yende mebe chishik chade mi dupe, no? Da kunyan jambe yende na denba chashi. Na shi yende dushin shibe nimbo de denba ni yende meba yende. Yende mebe chishik chade mi dupe, I do not want such existence of not having positive qualities. Da kunyan, I should always Jambe yunden dan denbar chashin is I should always train to have positive qualities through training. Rangshin yunden, the natural positive quality, which is Tathagata Garba, the Buddha nature, no, is there. So therefore, it is not that there is no positive qualities. Shen yang chomen dun ne, joba yunden chenpo jen kangwe chanju senpati, menba ten yang yujin. When you compare the excellent and the lower, no? Then you have one with lots of positive qualities, and then the bodhisattva itself can be one with less qualities. And also from the lower person, one can also be in the excellent situation. So therefore, there is no guarantee about whether the higher level or the lower level is always same. It all depends on when you compare from this way or that way. In that case, then in here, you are to hold yourself as the inferior one. Take and where would you compare yourself to be the inferior one? You can meditate that you cannot make yourself inferior than all the inferior ones. But among the inferior ones, you put yourself in there and then you can meditate. So therefore, at that time you have an object to compare, so therefore the fault does not apply. If you are to say, due to your degeneration of moral practices as well as losing your perspective, and you are lower than Bodhisattva, so dim dan tawa thang laso be dupe chowa gubane nyamumbe wangi chunga dagi wangdu dupa minla. The degeneration of moral discipline and so on is due to the afflictions. One does not have control over it. Because you want to be the compassionate one, so with whatever your ability, one need to upgrade from any kind of degeneration. So therefore, if you are to upgrade, then even if you have a difficulty in upgrading, no, one should voluntarily accept it. However, I am not someone who is to be assisted by this bodhisattva, it says, and this bodhisattva is not able to be assist me at this time, then why should I see this bodhisattva as a better one, and why should I look down upon myself? It says, even though it has a positive qualities, yeah. Now, so if this bodhisattva is not able to help me, then what is the use of its positive qualities? So this bodhisattva, even though it has the positive qualities, but there is no use of its positive qualities of me. Shenyan digbe wangi nyendru khadna, dukbadna, dhudna, chensan lasobe, kharmnebe, drowalna, nyenjemebe, kyunchenti, kyunthe, ke milembra masi, chila yunden chendru nombayi, kebantana, uvardepe, miribe, kyula yunden megi, tendu tuyemangu yoyche, tawdo chebangu. And furthermore, due to the power of negative actions, you do not have compassion. You do not have compassion for those beings who are in the lower rebirth, as well as who are among the place that is miserable, such as someone who is surrounded by snakes and tigers and so on. You do not have compassion. So you not only agree to these faults, and instead you're thinking that you have lots of qualities. This is not appropriate. You do not have positive qualities. On top of that, you have lots of faults. So in that way, one should have the jealousy. So I don't know how I'm just going through the text. I hope it's making some sense. Now the second one is the competitiveness. When you compare yourself to those who are similar to yourself, in order for yourself to be better. So in a situation of competitiveness, through the name and fame, or through obtaining, in order to make yourself better, your own respect and other thing, even if you have to argue, if you have to have a debate, take it away from this and you should have it. At any cost, your own qualities, you should make it known to others. And whatever the positive qualities is possessed by this, is not allow it to be heard by anyone. So therefore Bodhisattva is competing in the sense that Bodhisattva, the effect is oneself is not, oneself is not putting out there, oneself is getting hidden, but the other person is to be made more popular, to be made oneself, even if one has the positive qualities, make all effort to hide it down and to highlight the positive qualities of the other. So therefore, when maybe in a competitive situation, one person wants to win from the other person, so there is a competitive situation. Here the Bodhisattva in the practice, competitive is allowing the other person to win by going against oneself. Dagi kyun nam bawar cha shin, di kyun nam salwar cha shin. Dagi kyun nam bawar cha shin is hiding one's own faults. So this one, that self in this one is referring to the other person. Di kyunam, and the fault of this one is elaborated. Dane keva mambe chobar chishin, I am respected by so many people, whereas this one is not respected in that way. Dane nyeba legbar nyejin, I have obtained so many fame and so on, this one have not. Dane kungi kurvar chashin, make oneself respected by everyone, whereas this one, not respected by anyone. Dini marunde dungawar chebala, make this one inappropriate by causing lots of suffering to it. Yunindu dani, and for a long time, oneself be happy. Dila jowa kungi telte shege la penzume bodabu chao, and this one is to be the object of laughing by all sentient beings. So therefore, the Bodhisattva is talking of the practice of competitiveness in the sense that usually our way of doing is always praising ourselves, how good we are and so on. In this one, when it is exchanged to the self and the others, and the praise and everything, every good thing is dedicated and worked and highlighted for the other one, and oneself is actually put down. So this one is Bodhisattva's practices. And then the third one is the meditation of the arrogance. Towa dao do sunne nyumong da memba diyan dao na henchik do de shethanas didan dao teba dan sherabang sudan ridan orgin yamang chishik lagi samshin. Tova Daudu Sunde is it taking the higher position by oneself. Nyomonte Memba Dinyang is this lower one. Dadan Henjil Duden is this trying to compete with me, Shetana. Didan Da Tobadna Sherabam Sudna Ridan Norgin Emon Chishikasan. There's no way, you know, this can compete with me from the perspective of how much Dharma I have heard, how much wisdom I have, from the perspective of my body, my family, clan, from the perspective of prosperity, you know, one should think. And this is how in the whole world also it is known. My positive quality is much better or higher than this one. All sentient beings actually also are talking that you, and you are hearing it. There is a joy to the point of your hair pores are standing up. No? So you enjoy such bliss and happiness. No? Even if one is to make an effort to stop it, no? It is not stopping. Even though this one has some fame and so on, so one is being very arrogant, and it works for me, so just giving it like some stipend or some money, you know, the whatever the rest is due to your own power, you take it away. Bring it down from happiness. Not only that, I should always place this in difficult situation. So therefore, this is a big mental operation. Mental operation is a big process of changing self and others, and then doing the exact thing, you know, that once you would have done to others. So this is I am so unfamiliar with it, I can't describe just reading through it. Even the reading is not working out quite well. So far away from these good practices. Can't even read. And now after this is authenticating this practice, you know, saying the practice is good, is here.
Does everyone else's photocopy run out at stanza 160? Or is that just...
There's three pages to come.
Oh, there are more. Did you not get one?
No, I've got the book now, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. I've photocopied some more last night.
Okay.
Is this a good place? Is anyone not happy? Is this a good place? Or should we keep going?
Okay, we will just have one thing and then we have...
Yeah.
And now, looking into the validness of the practice, and then we will have a cup of tea. Dila tezam do dam chideshe na. Why, you know, so much aversion to this? Why, you know, if you say, because this practice emphasizes, you know, so much, but then says, this self have yul to data mambo tamje do in so many, like hundreds of places. In hundreds of times, korwar in samsara, this one has always given harm to me. So this self, so therefore, it's taking revenge to the self, bodhisattva. Because you would say, why so cruel? No? You say, oh, this self, this ego has in so many places, so many times, have tortured so much time in samsara to me. So here we will have a break, yeah? A cup of tea. The practice is so high up there, this one. Once in a blue moon, we think, oh, I and others are actually similar. And never go from there away. Stay, even that you forget.
But maybe, like, you know, when you feel, you know, you feel really sorry for someone who you see that's really sick or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's sort of, maybe a feeling of wanting to you know, try and help them more. Just feeling sorry that they're in that position.
Certainly. But this one is so foreign. Level of the practice is so foreign. Imagine some people, some special people sit down and do this practice. Many of them, the Kadamba masters.
But it doesn't really make any sense without a very thorough knowledge of emptiness.
Yes.
Otherwise,
that's
it's
right.
You get into very deep trouble.
It's
true.
Like to hold the ego up as enemy without understanding the emptiness of the ego would just lead to self hatred.
That's true.
I don't know. I disagree a little bit. I think you could, without having a thorough realization of emptiness.
Not realization.
What do you say?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, okay. You could go a little bit, get a little bit more understanding of letting go of your ego, because to a certain, it's just a matter of.
It says to attack the ego, is that the idea?
Well, yes, I think how to receive that. Okay.
Maybe that's another way of coming at it, though, too. Another approach.
Because it
deconstructs.
That's what it is.
When the question is raised about why so aversion, and it says the reason is this ego or this self-cherishing has troubled, many times in samsara. So therefore the self-cherishing is to be defeated. So when you have of course, a person who would be meditating like this would have an understanding. They would not just jump and meditate this, because they would know, and then they would know why they are doing this meditation. They would know because it is not a self-hatred, really. And especially if they have bodhicitta at the core of their being, So therefore, then they are actually flipping it. They're just whole new way of thinking, whole new way of existing.
And isn't there also bodhicitta for this one? I mean, although we're exchanging self for others, I mean, this one is one of the many.
Bodhicitta, of course. When you have all sentient beings, you include it automatically.
So self-hatred shouldn't come if there's...
Yeah, it should not be a self-hatred. Because the bodhicitta, of course, include everyone, and yourself is actually in there as wanting to attain the perfect state of enlightenment. And what you are dealing with is the obstacle to the attainment of something like this, So therefore, it is. But that's why the teaching like this comes at the end, in the 8th chapter. And then when I try to explain, I try to make it a point to say what is in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd chapter. Because at the 8th chapter, I'm concluding. Now we go into the wisdom bit. This exchanging of self and others also is quite have to be maybe at a bit higher level. Certainly have to be at a higher level to relate to it. But we can theoretically understand why, because the ego has a cause problem. It is causing all the time. It kind of deprives us of being able to do or help. Or
so if you saw someone who's really sick, you'd want to be in their place. Is that what it's saying? Is that
Exchanging of. Yeah, some bodhisattvas, some who are able, they say they can even take their pain. No?
Mm.
No? They can even take their pain away. No? They say. And I'm sure if someone is maybe very powerful to their practice and to their compassion, maybe they are able to take their pain. They say. But it does not sound like you know, unless and until when we actually experience it, you know, we cannot like validate. No?
Mm.
Like, it's interesting, sometimes someone is sick and then, you know, someone has pain, you give them a medicine, painkiller, it's just something, you know, it kind of works, you know. It's interesting how it can work, you know. It kind of works, you know. And there probably are certain ways of working, no? Which we are not able to see. But then there is a question come up, you know, what about the karma, the person, you know? There's always this thing. But the one thing that is good about it is whether, irrespective of whether you can take the pain away or not, but you are maybe in connection with the other person, no? And connection with their pain, no? And you are concerned for them, and you are able to do something, no? If not, even take away the pain, you might be able to do something else, no? That will support them.
Probably harder with someone, you know, I was just thinking, who's done something really despicable, you know, it's very much harder to feel, you know, that you want to take that person's pain away, you know?
Yeah.
Like some, you know, cruelty or something like that. I think that's kind of more challenging in a way.
Because also they say, I mean, there is this famous saying in Buddhism about Buddhas, enlightened ones, Thubnam Dikvachuyi Tuvar Nijala. The Buddhas cannot wash your sins away with water. Drove Dunga Chagi Misalte, by touching his hand on you, he cannot, you know, remove your suffering. And he's not even able to transform his realization to others. Only by teaching the Dharma, you know, will he help you to liberate. You know? So Buddhas, when we talk about Buddhas, you know, like the Bodhisattvas, after 8th Bhumi, 10th Bhumi, it's a Buddha, enlightened one. So therefore, but even if you are able to take away the pain, no, they will probably have their karma, you know, they might have pain again. But there's one story, one of the teachers in the Lojong teaching, this one teacher was not even a great practitioner of compassion. So, however, this teacher had some realization or experience of emptiness. So there was a situation, there was this guy, he is sick. And the doctor said that for you to get better, you have to eat human flesh. So the Bodhisattva, what he done? Bodhisattva, what did he cut? He said, some flesh from the thigh and give it to the person. You know? And he prayed that the person, he said he experienced lots of pain when he cut, because he had not realized the emptiness, you know. And but the sheer compassion, you know, cut, very painful. And then he slept, he had a dream. The white man came in his dream. And the white man licked where the cut was. You know? And next morning, it's all fixed. And he believes that it's Tenrezig. You know? Buddha, compassion came. And so there, you know, even if one, maybe one is not wisdom-wise, one is not realized emptiness, but due to the sheer compassion, no, one is able to do something like this, but very painful, because even the compassion is there, but emptiness is not realized. So therefore, very painful. And then he, one of the, I think the Kadampa master, I can't remember the name at this time, I can remember this story when I did some Bodong teaching somewhere, it was mentioned in the story about the master.